We're facing difficult times in Missouri and across America. We need answers and ensure a bright future for our citizens, and I believe it begins here today. We want to send a gentleman that I've known for many years, one of the best and brightest, to speak and lead us in the U.S. Senate. In the Senate, this gentleman will put our future first. He has the strength and character to stand up for the good and honest principles that we believe in as Republicans. He's willing to sit down with all sides to craft solutions. He's been elected three times as the chief election official of Missouri's fifth largest county. He was Secretary of State with an overwhelming reelection. He's been a university president. He's been in the U.S. House of Representatives, elect five times, been the majority whip in the House. I cannot think of any gentleman I would have more honor to introduce to you all today, the press and our friends, as this gentleman, the most candid, the gentleman I believe has the ability to take what we believe in the House to the U.S. Senate, my friend Roy Blunt.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Speaker, and we've got a schedule to keep, so fortunately we're able to get the applause there, stop at the right time. I will tell you before I start, my littlest boy, Charlie, was four the day before the election. Actually, November the 11th, 2004 was a big day for our family. Matt was elected governor, Charlie Blunt was born, but we didn't know it because Charlie was born in Russia, he knows he was born in Russia, by the way. If you ever say that, it'll be okay. He was in school the other day, and they were talking about Canada, and they said Canada's the second biggest country in the world except for Russia. And Charlie volunteers, well, I was born in Russia. But a couple of days after the election this year, we were somewhere, and Charlie loves to get the mic, and he got up, and I think he announced he was running for Congress. He was trying to beat the rush in the 7th District. And later that night, his mom is putting him in bed, and she said, Charlie, did you make a speech tonight? And he said, no, just remarks. So let me make a couple of remarks, and then we'll see what kind of questions we have here. First of all, I'm glad to have the Speaker and so many of our friends from the House who were able to stay. I had a good chance to meet with the House and Senate Republicans as well. And I think we've got some Senate members coming in and here, and I appreciate your being willing to stand with me today as I make this announcement about my decision to run for the Senate. First of all, let me talk for a minute about Kit Bond. I was as surprised as anybody was when Kit Bond decided not to run, and I think our state has been well served by Kit Bond. I've been in lots of fights for Missouri with Kit Bond, and I've always seen him as the Missouri senator. Whoever was in the Senate with Kit, Kit was always the guy in there willing to fight for things that were good for our state. In fact, I think when I went to Congress a dozen years ago, the highway gas tax money, we were getting back about 80 cents out of every dollar. In the bill we passed last year, we're going to get back by the end of that highway bill $1.03 out of every dollar. And nobody's been a bigger part of that fight than Kit Bond. So I always saw him as the nuts and bolts, whatever's good for Missouri guy, I'm going to be there. And then in recent years, Kit's added to that as the leading Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee, this incredibly deep understanding of the danger we face as a country, what we need to do to fight that danger, and has been a leader in this fight. I saw a lot of that. Come on up, Jay. I saw a lot of that last year when Kit Bond and I, along with Steny Hoyer and Senator Rockefeller, were able to put together a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that makes our country safer today than it would otherwise be. But I was in meetings with Kit virtually every day for about 3 months. We talked every day. We were in meetings day after day until we got that bill done, and he's done a great job for our state. 7 weeks ago, the furthest thing from my mind was running for the Senate. And when Senator Bond announced that he was not going to run, My first thought was that those 41 seats in the Senate are so important, so critical that we maintain that last balance in the system that otherwise is gone if the Senate slips to a filibuster-proof number, that we just have to win this seat. And my view on day one, right up until a few days ago, was I am for whoever can win that seat, unless it's me, and if it's me, I want to think about it. And I was very open to it being somebody else. But in this race, at this time, I think I am the person that can do this. The Senate is where the fight is. In fact, 7 weeks ago, I was trying to figure out how, as somebody who was used to being in the middle of the legislative discussion all the time, I could be the most effective member of the House in the minority with the president of the other party. And so I'd shifted back to the Energy and Commerce Committee, where 70% of the Obama agenda is focused on health care, telecom, the telecommunications issues, the environmental issues. Many of the job-related issues are in that committee. I'd taken a seat on the House Select Committee on Intelligence to continue to be involved in our foreign policy views, and thought, well, that's the best place to be in this fight right now. But clearly the fight is in the Senate. And this is the opportunity to go to the Senate. This is the opportunity to be part of doing what I can to see that we don't have the kind of bad results we had last week when every Republican in the House voted against a so-called stimulus package that won't be stimulative. And seven Democrats joined us. The bipartisan vote was on our side. And still, the Democrats were easily able to pass a bill that included everything, or everything in there they'd wanted to do at some time during the last 10 years. That $800 billion worth of spending will be $1.2 trillion at the end of the 5 years once you add the interest in. That's more than we collect in the income tax in any given year. We don't collect $1.2 trillion in the income tax in a given year. It's more than we spend in the entire discretionary budget in a given year, and we don't have a single one of those dollars. That's the kind of thing that happens when Speaker Pelosi and Leader Reid decide we won the election, we're going to write the bill, and we've got a couple of Republicans who vote with us, so we're going to do it whenever we want to, however we want to. So those 41 votes matter. I think I bring to this race an established set of principles, a very transparent record in the House, and a commitment to seek bipartisan solutions. And whether it was tax policy or the Combat Meth Act or the Charitable Giving Act or the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, all of those involved bringing Democrats and Republicans together and getting something done. I think those are the issues that are critical to the future of the state, jobs in the economy, what we can do with good tax policy to create good job opportunities, what we can do with energy policy. Last year in the House, I led the House energy action effort. And frankly, the domestic issue that Republicans did the best on last year was a thorough understanding of why we need more American energy and how foolish it is to continue to send money to other economies rather than to produce our own energy. Health care, couple of weeks ago, I was asked to put together a House task force on health care, and so we're bringing people from Republicans from all of the committees that deal with health care together to talk about that issue. National defense, the principal responsibility of the federal government, are all issues that I'm willing to talk to Missourians about, eager to talk to Missourians about, as I am anything else they want to talk about over the course of the next year. This is going to be a campaign about the future. It's going to be a campaign that tries its best to communicate in every possible way with people. And today we're choosing some stops that sort of are part of who I am. We started this morning at Harris Stowe State University because fundamentally it's a teaching institution, and fundamentally I'm still a teacher. As a college president, as a teacher, I've spent my life trying to get people more involved in this process and to understand the process better. Obviously, here at the state capitol, with my friends behind me, I had 8 great years here as Missouri's Secretary of State, the first Republican elected to that job in 52 years. We're going to go from here to the Cape County Courthouse And I spent 12 years working for Greene County taxpayers and voters and residents in the courthouse in Greene County. And then at the end of the day today in Carthage in my congressional district where we'll also start out tomorrow. But frankly, one of the ways that I get to communicate with Missourians over the next 20 months is through the members of the media that are here, and I'm glad you're here. And sometimes I'll not like what you say, and sometimes you'll not like what I say, but the truth is you're a necessary part of this process. I'm not going to have time for one-on-ones today. I'm going to be back in central Missouri a lot, and we'll do them then, but I'm prepared to answer any questions you have, and thank you for being here.
Congressman, you voted against the stimulus, and you said that you would support a stimulus that was targeted and temporary. Mm-hmm. How big should the ideal stimulus package have been?
Well, I think it should have been as small as possible, Tony, and the ideal stimulus package would be so stimulative that there wouldn't be any long-term cost. You know, if you do things that encourage investment, if you do things through tax policies and other policies that head the economy in the right direction, you wind up putting more people to work, more people pay taxes. I don't think you have to assume that it's a zero-sum game. I will tell you that last year, when I sat down with the majority leader and with the speaker and with our leader, and we figured out how to move forward with a quick stimulus package, the speaker says, look, this has to be timely, it has to be targeted, it has to be temporary. And this bill is none of those. 25% of the money won't be spent this year. It's not targeted. It's essentially a collection of everything that the new majority wanted to do during the last decade that they couldn't get done, that they could shove through this funnel of opportunity, it just doesn't work. You know, a stimulus based on good tax policy that encourages private sector job creation is so dramatically different than this. Somebody said that the difference in a stimulus based on tax reduction and a stimulus based on spending is the difference in applying the glue and sniffing the glue. So I'm on the side of applying the glue where you need to. I'm not on the side of sniffing the glue and acting like this is going to be more than it is. You know, Rahm Emanuel said, the White House chief of staff, you don't want to miss the opportunity of a crisis. And I think part of the strategy of the last few months has been to make this crisis appear to be so big that any solution is better than no solution, and then you try to take full advantage of that moment to get everything done that you couldn't get done in the last decade.
Wasn't that the same strategy when the TARP package that you supported?
No, not at all. Actually, I did. Not only did I support it, I wound up in the room where the Secretary of the Treasury and the head of the SEC and the head of the Federal Reserve came up and told the congressional leaders, if we don't do something in the next 14 days to 3 weeks, the financial structure of the country is going to collapse. And we need a blank check for $700 billion, and we need it now. And what we gave them was the ability, with lots of supervision, to use $350 billion immediately to invest in the economy at a level where taxpayers will ultimately get their money back. And I think that's what they did. Now, they didn't invest it in a way that has relieved the credit crunch that we were told they were going to do. And I was disappointed in that, and I challenged the Secretary of the Treasury on that. I voted against releasing the second $350 billion because I didn't think they'd done what they said they'd do with the first $350. But, Tony, let me tell you, when the President of the United States, the Secretary of the Treasury, the head of the SEC, and the head of the Fed come to you and say, something is absolutely essential, I think initially you have to give them the benefit of the doubt, and we did. And then when it came time to release the second $350 billion, I didn't vote to do that. Chad, you said, were they wrong? I think that they were probably not wrong in the moment the country faced. And the actions they took, in all likelihood, did stabilize the financial structure of the country. And taxpayers will get every bit of that money back. So it's much different than spending $1 trillion. It's investing $350 billion at levels where taxpayers eventually get their money back, and maybe only the government could do that. But they did not require the ability the people that got that money to make it available for others. And that's what we were told that they were going to do. And I was disappointed in that.
Should that be the fault of the Treasury, or should it be the fault of the Congress to pass the bill?
No, I think kind of fool me once, it's your fault, fool me twice, it's my fault.
Congressman, this is if you are your party's nominee for Senate, this will be the second time in a row that a congressman has been sort of the premier ticket holder in the biggest race in this state. Last time the governor, well, the person that was congressman last time lost by 20 percentage points. How are you going to avoid the fate of Kenny Olsop in this race?
Yeah, I think 2010, first of all, is going to be a substantially different year than 2008. Secondly, you know, I've been elected to statewide office a couple of times. One of the problems in a state as big as ours, if the only people that know you are the people in 1/9 of the state, it's awfully hard in 7 months, which is the length of that campaign, to close that gap. I think it's a different situation. We've got a different length of campaign here. I've been elected to statewide office before. I think I carried 110 of Missouri's 115 counties when I was re-elected Secretary of State. And I look forward to using this 20 months to talk to the people of Missouri, not about just the slogans of, hey, you're a member of Congress, Congress is bad, but about what the American people need to be thinking about, what Missourians need to be thinking about, and the difference in the candidates in the general election, and those differences are going to be substantial.
Congressman, we're already hearing rumblings out of Washington that you are going to be painted as a Washington insider. Tom DeLay's name will come up. You and Tom DeLay are very close. Tom DeLay's name is not very good right now in the United States. Whether it should be or not is immaterial. And you're being painted as being someone who's close to Tom DeLay. How are you going to combat that, whether it's fair or not? How are you going to fight that?
Yeah, I don't think that has the legs to run 20 months. I served in the Congress with Tom DeLay. I was in the leadership with Tom DeLay. He's a person of lots of skills. And he was a person who was able as a leader in the Congress to see a House of Representatives that passed a tax cut every year he was the leader. But this is not about Tom DeLay's record. It's not even about the past. Now, you know, my challenge to you would be, as members of the media, you could talk about that if you want. This, you know, you could play the Washington insider game there, which it's being said in Washington, that, or you can help me talk about the future. I'm prepared to talk for as long as anybody in this room has time, sometime during the next 20 months, about jobs, about taxes, about health care, about energy. And I'm prepared to go anywhere the Democrat candidate for Senate is to talk about those things for as long as they want to talk about it. That's what the campaign ought to be about.
How concerned are you that Sarah Steelman in the future might get into the race and challenge you?
Sarah, let me say this about Sarah. I think there are only about a dozen Republicans in the last 30 years that have figured out how to win a statewide office in Missouri. So I think every one of them, including Sarah, have value. If I thought Sarah could win the Senate race and who knows where I'd be on that, but I think I'm the best candidate. If she runs, I just think that the race that lasted for however long it lasted last time won't have the resilience for this time. The politics of just trying to talk about slogans instead of the future will not be the politics of 2010.
Congressman, have your folks made any overtures to Sarah Steelman, anybody else, about avoiding a primary?
You know, I've talked to Sarah and David a number of times over the last month. I talked to Jim Talent a number of times over the last month. I intend to continue to do that. I think it's a race we win if we all come together, and we've got plenty of time for that to happen.
Is it important that the Republican Party this time avoid a primary battle?
I don't think if there is a primary, it'll be the same primary we had last time. I think we have enough time to make this a primary about issues. I believe my view on those issues and my record on those issues is where Missourians are. I'm not going to run away from being somebody who could be effective from day one. I've tried to be as transparent as you could possibly be on my voting record as a member of Congress. In fact, my very first year in Congress, I started putting all my votes on my website. And they're all there right now, all 5,036 of them as of last week. You can look at them. And I'll guarantee you that based on the information I had at the time, they were, in my judgment, the right vote at the time. And most of them would still be the right vote today, even after 10 years of new things have developed. So I'm prepared to talk about what it takes to have the courage to be a member of the House or a member of the Senate. You know, we were asked earlier about the package last fall, the sort of fool me once, fool me twice package that we talked about. The truth is, that would have been an easy thing to vote against, because I think it did work to some extent, but it's impossible to quantify that. Whenever you're trying to prevent what the people who should know, you know, Ben Bernanke, for instance, is a renowned expert on the politics of on the economics of recession and depression. He should know more about this than anybody else I could have found to talk to. But when I went to our members, I said, look, I understand what this vote's all about. Because if we prevent really disastrous things from happening, nobody's going to know that. And if some bad things continue to happen, they're going to say, well, you guys didn't solve all the problems with that one vote. Politics takes courage. It takes a commitment to principle. It takes the willingness to defend who you are and why you're doing this. You know, I long ago stopped running for office on the basis that I thought it was the best paying job I could get. I'm in politics to make a difference. I think the best place to make a difference in 2011 and between now and 2011 will be to do everything I can to hold that 41st seat in the U.S. Senate so that we really do have a chance to come together. One of my colleagues called me the other day who'd served in the House, and he said, Roy, one of the differences about the Senate is the rules work for individuals over here, and they have to listen to you. If you're stubborn enough and strong enough and courageous enough, they have to listen to you. And you have a chance to do what you've done in the House, which is to advance solutions that people from both parties can vote for, instead of what happened last week where the Speaker of the House said famously, we won the election, we'll write the bill. We won the election, we'll write the bill cannot be the way forward in a country where people don't have full confidence in the government. They have confidence in themselves and the institutions that made our country great.
You talked about your ability to be effective on day one. In that sense, does Washington experience matter in this race?
Well, we'll see. Certainly, I think understanding the issues matters. Having the courage to stand for what you're for matters, and to defend that matters. Missourians need somebody who can fight for them. And I've done that as a member of the House. They know what I've done as a member of the House. I'm going to do that as a member of the Senate, and I intend to win this race.
Will this race be decided over whether or not the stimulus package is successful in or not successful in improving or hurting the economy between now and 2010?
There's no question that the status of the economy and the view of how the president's running the country will have an impact in November 2010. The stimulus package, Tony, will not work. Now, the country is strong, the people of the country are good, they know how to compete, and eventually they'll overcome whatever damage the government does. But when you've got the federal government out there competing for $1 trillion that we don't have the first dollar of that $1 trillion, they're competing with people who otherwise would like to borrow money to send their kids to school or buy a house or buy a car, and this is going to have negative effect. The family that benefited most from the stimulus package was the federal family. The federal family, they get their new golf carts, they get their offices remodeled, the high-speed train that Leader Reed says he wants to go from Los Angeles to Las Vegas at the cost of maybe billions of dollars. They put $8 billion in a high-speed rail project. Those are the people that won. But the American people are resilient, and they know how to compete, and eventually the economy, in spite of this, will recover. But this is going to be an impediment to recovery, not something that assists recovery. And I think they probably set our recovery back by several months by the decisions that were made in Washington last week.
So if you're
your candidacy is going to be somewhat of a referendum on the current policies?
I think my candidacy is going to be the difference in what I stand for and what the current Democrats in Washington stand for. And I think I know where Missourians are going to wind up on that referendum if I do my job of being sure that we make this a campaign about the future and a campaign about people and look for every opportunity to talk to Missourians about their hopes, their concerns, and their dreams for the future. So thank you all for being here today.